Take your Bible, if you would, Luke chapter 2, if you would, with me. Thank you for being here with us today. I'm so thankful for this season. I love this season. And we won't be too long. We've got a lot of kiddos with us today. Look with me, Luke chapter 2, if you would, and we'll get into this. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his hometown. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy that shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Let's pray. Father, I do come before you again, and I'm so thankful for this time. Lord, we thank you for your word, and Father, I pray that for these few minutes that we would let our hearts listen to your word, and that we would find peace and joy in who you are and what you've done for us. Father, we give you this time. In Jesus' name, amen. In the middle portion of this text that I read, we find one of the most important and famous Christmas verses. Verse 14 says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." The birth of Christ did two things. The birth of Christ gave God great glory, and the birth of Christ brought great peace to men. Our theme today is peace. It's our last word. It's our last Advent theme. Hope, joy, love, peace. Because of the birth of Christ, God gets glory and mankind gets peace. The song that the angel sang stated two things. Glory to God in the highest. Essentially saying, God, you deserve the highest praise for sending your son into the world. Of all things you could be praised for, the high God gets the high praise because this is amazing. This is powerful. This is pivotal. This is changing everything in time, this event. And the opposite is true. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men. Folks, what is peace? I don't know if we have a lot of peace in the United States right now. Right? I could say, I shouldn't say it, but I'm going to get myself in trouble. Merry impeachment. Impeachments. There's not peace in this country, is there? There's just not. What is peace? Some people believe that peace is the absence of conflict, and that's true. In the Bible, peace does mean the absence of conflict, but it means something bigger than simply the absence of conflict or war. So I'd like to talk about peace a little bit this morning, and I'm going to ask my young helper, Shane, to come up here, if you would. I've got a lot of smelly, stinky shoes up here, and I'm going to put these on the stage here, and I'm going to ask Shane a question. Most of these shoes are mine. I'm sorry, Shane. Some of these I got out of the closet in the back. So, Shane, what are these things that I'm showing you right now? What do you call these? They're called shoes. Are you sure? Are you positive? Yeah. Now, What type of shoes, and there's no wrong answer, what type of shoes do you like the best? Do you like those? Why do you like those? They're blue. Blue is your favorite color. That's awesome. Oh, your second favorite color. Okay. Okay. What's your first favorite color?
Black.
Okay. Well, you could have picked those. These are girl shoes. You knew that. So I want you to closely look at these pairs of shoes. This is just a silly illustration, but it teaches what I'm going to try to talk about today. And I want you to tell me what is missing. What? One shoe. Is it over there? Do you want to go get it? He is so smart. Whose kid is this? Like, it took my kids like 10 minutes. They're like, I don't know. Shane, give me five, man. You are smart. You can go back to your seat. Thank you. Let's give Shane a round of applause. Thank you, Shane. When I talked to him earlier, he's like, oh, no. I'm like, it's easy. You can't get it wrong. So one shoe was missing, right? So we have lots of pairs of shoes. This is a silly illustration, but one was missing. That talks exactly to this idea of peace. The Bible's version of peace doesn't only mean the absence of conflict. The word for peace speaks of wholeness or completeness. Okay, so in the Old Testament, peace is the word shalom. You've heard that. In the New Testament, the Greek word for peace is eirene. I think I'm saying it right, eirene. Okay, so in the Old Testament, peace meant not only the absence of conflict, but wholeness or completeness. Specifically, it talks about wholeness or completeness in this idea of something that is very complex. Many of you have seen a stone wall. Shalom or peace would talk about a stone wall that has no stones missing and it's not cracked in any way. If you go online, the Bible Project talks about this directly, and I looked at it this week and I'm using some of those ideas. It talks about a stone wall that has no cracks or nothing missing. Shoes are a lot easier than me building a stone wall, right? So we did the shoe idea. There's a bunch of shoes here. One is missing. So when one was missing, it was not in a state of shalom. It was not at peace. It was not complete. It was not whole. Job in the Old Testament said his house was in a state of shalom because he counted all of his flocks and his animals and there were none missing. My house is in shalom. When David went to see his brothers in the Old Testament at the battlefield, he inquired about their shalom. How is your mental, spiritual, intellectual state? And they were not in shalom because this big dude named Goliath kept coming out and defying Israel's God, right? So shalom has this idea of being complete or whole. It's complex. And the main idea when it comes to peace or shalom is that life is complex. It has lots of moving parts, right? And if any of your life is missing or out of alignment or broken, you are not in a state of shalom. Your life needs restored. So shalom means to restore or to make complete. In the Old Testament, when King Solomon finished the temple, he brought the temple, something very complex, to a state of shalom or peace. If your animal runs into your neighbor's field and causes lots of damage, you would have shalom when you would pay him for the damage and act like it never happened. Shalom talks about relationships. In the book of Proverbs, if you restore two people who are looking the other way and are at odds with one another, you turn them back together and they are in shalom. When rival kingdoms have shalom, they not only stop fighting, but they work for each other's good. In the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah looked forward to the king, the prince of peace, the prince of shalom, who would bring wholeness and his kingdom would never end. He would heal the broken. He would restore that which has fallen apart and broken down. So this idea, folks, is very complex, and it's a beautiful thing, this idea of peace. That's why when Jesus' birth was heralded by the angels, it was such a big deal, because the Prince of Peace, or Irene, is coming. And what he is doing is not simply stopping war, but he has the ability in and of himself to make complete and whole God and man. So this idea of peace also has the opposite implication. If you need peace, the implication is you're not whole. Do you know that the Bible teaches that every child is born without peace between him and his creator? That's what the Bible teaches. Now, we usually don't think of Christmas and war or fighting or the absence of peace in the same theme. I've never heard Christmas messages where they're like, this is about war. No, it's about peace. But if we're going to talk about peace, we have to talk about why peace need to come at the beginning, in the first place. So look with me, if you would, at Ephesians chapter 2. We've looked at Luke. We're going to stay in Ephesians the rest of the day, the rest of the morning, the rest of the day. I plan here being very long. I'm kidding. Okay, you've heard this before, but folks, we cannot talk about peace this morning without talking about the war that each of us are born into. Ephesians chapter 2, Paul spells out for us our state. He says this in verse 1, "And you," and that means each of us here, "were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom also all lived in the passions of the flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." So, can you look up here? What does that mean? The Bible teaches that each of us are born at war with God. Now, you may say, I don't feel like I'm at war with God. Well, we need to stop thinking of sin that makes us at war with God as something very overt. Like we say, I haven't killed anybody, I haven't lied, I'm not committing adultery, so I'm not at war with God. Well, don't think of sin as big things. The Bible teaches us that sin that we're born with is simply saying, I want my way instead of God's way. Do you know that every child doesn't need to learn the fact of, I want my way instead of mom and dad's way, right? It's like they're 6 months old and it comes out, right? You see it. Each of us are born with this idea of, I want my way instead of God's way. Do you know that churches are filled with well-meaning people who come to Christmas services and hear about peace and think they are at peace when actually they're still at war? Because they evaluate themselves by what I'm not doing instead of the heart condition that says, no, I really want my way. You know, the atheist man simply says, I just don't believe in God. And I just don't believe that his word is true. I'm a nice person. I give money to charity. How can I be at war with God? Well, you're at war with God because you want your way instead of God's way. And you're not coming his way. And his way is the Prince of Peace. Those who are pagans and worship different gods, many of them think that they can come to God through their religion. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to God, right? I mean, I can worship Buddha, or I can worship Muhammad, or I can worship Jesus. We're all going to get to the same God someday. They may be very sincere, but the Bible teaches they are sincerely wrong, because there's only one peacemaker. There's only one way you can come. Do you know that this funeral service that I did this last week, attending the service were many people who would label themselves Christian, but the way that they're coming to God is through trying really hard. They believe in Christ, but the way they want to come to Christ is by doing good and not doing that and not doing that, because that's really bad, but giving money and being baptized. And folks, in their own hearts, they're still at war with God because they're saying, no, I think I know how to get to you. I'm going to try real hard. And folks, we have to understand that God says, if you do not understand his Prince of Peace, you will always be at war with him. You know, in a crowd this size, I could assume that perhaps some of us are here who think that we're okay, but we're at war with God. Do you know, I was 14 years old, I was a pastor's kid, and I was at war with God, and then something happened, and peace came. Has that happened to you? Do you have peace in your heart? In Jesus' time, the Romans ruled the world. And they had what's called the Pax Romana, or the Roman peace. But the absence of war doesn't guarantee peace. One philosopher in that time said this: while the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to give peace from passion, grief, envy. He cannot give peace of heart for which man yearns more than even outward peace. And folks, God himself offers to you peace, true peace, true peace. Now, you're in Ephesians chapter 2. Look with me, if you would, at verse 13. Ephesians 2, 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, which hath made both one and hath broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of two, making peace. He's talking about Jews and Gentiles there. And he might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off, Gentiles, and peace to you who were near. Folks, look up here. Do you know that peace can be had between you and God, but before peace can happen, reconciliation must happen, and Christ is that reconciliation. Jesus Christ was born to die, and his death took upon himself the sins of the world, doing for me what I could not do for myself. So many of you have seen what a cross looks like, right? What Jesus did, look up here, what Jesus did is this. He says, I see that there's drama and hostility and war between God and man, and I will fix it. And as Jesus laid himself out on the cross, what he did was, in one hand, took God. Have you ever seen, you see these little twins up here? Did you see those while they're singing? Right? Do you know, I know that they love one another. But do you know, sometimes it looks like they don't love one another. Right? Headlocks, punching each other in the face. Have you ever seen a parent try to bring restoration between children? And the mom grabs the one by the hand, right? And grabs the other by the hand and pulls them together and says, listen, enough. We need to deal with this. Have you seen that before? Right? Do you know on the cross, Jesus stretched out his hand figuratively and held God, almighty, holy, righteous, sinless Father. And on the other hand, he grabbed our sinful man full of corruption. And he says, I will make peace. I will be the peace. I will be the mediator. I will be the peacemaker, even if it kills me. And it did. Folks, the peace that we celebrate at Christmas is so much more complex than just the absence of war. Jesus made us whole, not by his birth alone, but by his death. He made us complete. So there had to come a time in my life where I was at war with God, even though I was a pastor's kid, I believed all the right things, and I had to say, I'm going to stop trying to be really good and make you happy. I'm just going to stop it all, and I'm going to rest only in what you have done. And folks, I can remember the time when I had peace. and there was no more war against the Creator who had made me. And I felt His presence and I felt His fullness. Has there been a time when you've been at peace with God? I think those who are not at peace with God, many of them don't know it, but when they come close to the truth and the Holy Spirit begins to convict them, they know that something is wrong inside. They just sense it. They don't know how to fix it. Folks, you will never get peace unless you come through grace alone, through faith alone, through what Jesus has done. That's it. Has there been a time when you've received peace? Do you know that God will win? And all those who are not on His side and who have made peace with Him will be judged with eternal wrath. You need peace. But this peace not only begins with us and Christ and God the Father becoming at peace with one another through salvation. It's much more than that. There is this fuller, complete human being that God wants to make. So, I've heard this illustration of this young mother and wife who on her Christmas morning was opening up some gifts from her husband. And as she was opening up these gifts from her husband, at first she began to have some negative thoughts. Because she opened up a gift and it was sort of obvious that the husband had just hastily wrapped whatever he could find. He wrapped a pair of old flip-flops. And he's like, "Surprise!" And she's like, "Yay!" "Really?" And he said, I got something else for you." And he wrapped, I'm trying to remember it right, he wrapped flip-flops. He wrapped, I believe, some suntan lotion. And she's like, "Okay, you just like pulled this out of the drawer in the bathroom. I know that. What is going on? Please." And I don't know how many of you would be happy with like random shoes and whatever your wife can or husband can pull out of the junk drawer and wrapping it and saying, "Here you go." Right? Well, what the wife did not know is the husband was trying to give hints about a bigger gift that was coming that he could not give at that time. So what does flip-flops and suntan lotion have in common? The beach, right? I think Dolly wants to go to the beach. She's like, "Beach!" Okay, so finally, I think there was a couple more things, and finally it may have dawned on her, "I see what you're trying to do." And then all the anger and wrath and bad things she was thinking about her husband dissipated, and she asked forgiveness, and everything was good. Okay, I'm assuming. But the object is that there is something bigger and fuller that they didn't understand. Right? So when you receive the peace of Christ through salvation, what God is doing is He makes you complete. You guys understand what color blindness is, right? There is this really cool invention. It's probably been around maybe 10 years. But it's expensive, but you can buy sunglasses for colorblind people. And when they walk outside, these sunglasses have been made in such a way that it helps colorblind people see color for the first time. And so I like going on YouTube and watching videos of these people receiving these glasses, right? And they're all the same. And almost every time someone gets one of these glasses, they cry. And they don't cry when they receive them. They cry about 10 minutes after. Because, here's this old gruff man, old grandpa, and he receives these sunglasses. And he's like, "Okay." And he walks outside and he puts them on. And it takes a couple of minutes for the eyes to understand and to see what's up. And then you can just see a change come over. Because for the first time, it's not perfect, but he gets to see colors he's never seen. And he gets to see his granddaughter's hair color for the first time. And he gets to see his wife's eye color for the first time. And folks, it is overwhelming. Because it's been there all along. He just never had access to it. And now, for the first time, he gets to be complete like those who can see color. And it's awesome. And you can click through YouTube and you can watch these different. And everybody's bawling, right? Because, and they're like walking around, like looking at stuff. And they're like, are you serious? This is red? This is what red is? This is what blue is? First time they can see it. I love that. It was there all along. They just couldn't see it. Folks, what Jesus does when you receive him is he doesn't only stop the war between you and God, but he makes you completely human. And you're like, God does exist. Like, for 40 years I didn't realize, but he does exist. And he listens to me. And don't you love being around new Christians? They're not old pessimists, right? They're just excited that God's there and listens. And they're pumped. And they're just like, God's here. And he answered my prayer. And he talked to me today. I'm reading the Bible. You've got to see what he showed me. I read the Bible and he showed me. This is amazing. For the first time, they see it. God listens to me. God knows I'm here. God talked to me today. He showed me this stuff about me. It's true. It's hard for me to get it, but this is amazing. Do you know that's really why Jesus came? You see, your salvation and your sin problem is just part of it. He wants to make you completely whole. And he promises to do that. He says, those who I justify, I sanctify, and one day I will glorify. So folks, part of what we're rejoicing in this season is not that Jesus came and he's cute and we get presents and we love drinking wassail, which is not alcoholic, right? Some of you, I know it's not alcoholic. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Okay. And I get to eat good food. No, it's so much deeper than that, people. We've got to see beyond the veneer and say, no, this is the Prince of Peace. I am whole. I understand it all now. I get it now. Are you thankful for that? Is that something you're going to think about this week? Do you know that I take my eyesight to see color for granted? But there are people who would give a right arm to see what I can see, right? And you have that. You're a complete human if you're in Christ. You are fully his. So let's look at some more things that he made. Look with me again at Ephesians chapter 2 and look at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off. Now, who that's talking about is the Gentiles. Not part of the Jewish system, didn't have access to the law and the prophets like the Jews did. You who were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. Well, what is peace? Who hath made us both one. Now, who's both? The Jews and the Gentiles. And he has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. So look up here. In the Jewish temple, there was a literal wall that separated the Gentiles from the Jews. Josephus, the historian, writes this about that wall. On this wall, there was a plaque that says this. No foreigner may enter within the barricade which surrounds the sanctuary. Anyone who is caught will have himself to blame for his ensuing death. In other words, they took it so seriously that if you cross this line, we're going to kill you for it. We have the treasure. We have God. You do not. We have it. You have to stay out. But what does Jesus say he brings? He brings peace that breaks that wall down, opens the veil, allow everyone to have access, and creates everyone as equal. Now we are all equal. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, what ethnicity you're from. Everyone has access. Everyone can come in. The Jews and Gentiles were deeply divided groups. Jesus took down that barrier and made peace. The United States, folks, is a divided country, but we can have peace. I want you to look at chapter 4. Verse 1, Paul says this, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling by which you were called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So, do you know that at salvation, not only does God make peace between me and the Father, me and God, Christ makes peace between me and God, but Christ makes it possible for me to have peace and to be peace on this earth. One of the things that I know that I'm saved by is the change of mind that God gave me over time. Because while the rest of my friends wanted to fight over who was first, be the best, make the most money, put value on all of these temporal things, God began to pull me into a thinking of eternity is behind and before. Eternity is so big. Why are we fighting and struggling for stuff that is so temporary? Eternity is here. Eternity is before us and behind us. There are so much bigger things in this life to fight over and to strive for than that. And folks, what Christ does is he gives us a perspective that is eternal. We can be peacemakers because we know who's in charge and what will happen. We get to see the big picture. Listen to this passage, Colossians 3. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgive one another. As the Lord hath forgiven you, you also forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of Christ rule. Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Folks, do you know that the Prince of Peace who came made a way for every person in this room to live a life of peace, to live a life of absence of anxiety, to live a life of calmness inside, to live a life. The same man who said, stepped out on the water and said, peace be still. Right? He is our God. He brings us peace. So I don't know what you're going through in this moment, but I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ brings peace. He brings peace between us and the Lord, us and the God the Father, and he can bring peace amongst each of us. Now, the main reason I preached this message is, I know often on holiday times we do have people here, or you are going to visit families who do not know the Lord, okay? And it's interesting to see how many of us rub shoulders with people who do not know the Lord during the holidays. And folks, there is a great opportunity for us to show the peace of Christ during this time. Now, I joke about this, but many of us are going to be sitting around the dinner table, and we know what we're going to talk about, or people are going to talk about, right? They're going to talk about politics, they're going to talk about whatever it would be, and there is dissension that happens. You know, we don't have to be part of that in the sense of we know who controls everything. Aren't you so glad that God controls everything? He is our peace. And I just think that there is room for us as Christians to be salt and light in our attitudes, in our manner, in our actions when it comes to this holiday. It was so awkward for me to do this funeral last Wednesday because I knew I was going to be walking into a room full of people who were lost. And you know what God did? God gave me peace and allowed me to speak peace. The peace of God only comes through Christ. And I can't help but think that there's going to be some opportunities for you this holiday season to be salt and light and a peacemaker. We're to follow Jesus Christ, and he made peace between us and God the Father. He allows us to be peaceful in our own hearts and to be peaceful with one another and be able to create an atmosphere of peace. Folks, there's going to be opportunities this holiday season for you to be a peacemaker, right? So I know that when it comes to siblings, each of us feel like I can handle most anybody, but he better not start running his mouth, right? Okay, I'm that way. Me and my brothers, we joke around all the time. In the sense of, there's nothing worse than coming over to your brother's house when he's grilling something. Because I assume that I can grill it better. And here the argument starts, right? Now, that's a joke. That's a silly illustration. But folks, if you have peace in your heart, you can make peace with other people. And you can be a peacemaker and bring that. So I just want to challenge you this holiday season. God's done great things in your life. God has done great things in the families of this church. I know that. God has done great things in this church body. I know that. We have got to start giving some of it back. We have got to be able to allow the peace that we have in our own lives and in our own hearts to come through to other people. Okay, pray this holiday season that we can control our tongues, that we can allow the peace of God to rule, and we can be peacemakers in our home. Does that make sense? Why don't we go to the Lord in prayer?